Welcome to the Bumblecast. I am your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble Count. And joining me as always is the fellow who is both the trick and the treat, Kyle Kraus.
Master, tell me what I How shall are you do today? Next. Tell me what I shall do next, Master.
Bring me an interesting podcast.
I will do my best, Master, but I cannot make any guarantees.
We are already off to a terrible start. Yeah, no, I can't maintain this for the whole show.
I can't do it either.
It added a collective 25 minutes to the entire show with a deliberate pacing.
Yes. Also, I don't know why Igor / Fritz would be the assistant to Dracula, but whatever.
it was in Van Helsing, that really awful Hugh Jackman movie.
I never saw it. Is that probably a good thing?
It has a special place in my heart, but I can't defend it, really. It's bad. It's bad.
Okay.
It has little nuggets of stuff that I can point to and say, that was fun! You can't deny that was fun, but... Let me put it this way. You get less ham at a Christmas dinner.
Nice. Is it sadly not a Castlevania movie? Because I think that's what people really want, is a Castlevania movie.
It was probably... If somebody were to make a Castlevania movie and do it wrong, that's probably what Van Helsing would be.
Okay.
Now, here's the premise. It has all the promise in the world. The execution falls apart.
You know what movie was horrible? Speaking of Halloween-themed movies, horror-themed movies, that fairly recent one, I think back in 2014, there was Dracula Untold. That movie was bad. It's supposed to be the reboot of the Universal Monster Cinematic Universe, but I think they're kind of disowning it because it's not good. There's some pretty cool action set pieces in it, I suppose, but it's not great.
The one that they're showing all the trailers for right now is yet another Ouija boards are gateways to the devil.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm fairly certain we just had a Ouija-themed Halloween movie like a year or two ago.
Yeah, there's been so many of them, I can't even keep them all straight.
And number two, and this kind of ties into our general theme for the episode, but I cannot do spooky. I can't do the creepy. Halloween is a time of year that I kind of look forward to and dread at the same time. So... even trailers for some of the spooky stuff like Paranormal and They Follow and whatnot, I become very interested in whatever's on my computer screen or in the room next door or something, whatever it's on. With this Ouija movie, I can actually watch the trailer and kind of go, wow, they had $20 to make this, didn't they?
I have not seen the trailer for it, but now I'm curious.
So anyway, this episode of the Bumblecast is devoted to that time of year in which we all get to be all creepy and goofy in public and nobody calls the cops. That's right, we're talking about Halloween.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Comic-Con. You were describing Comic-Con. That was terrible, I know.
Actually, seriously speaking, one of the things I enjoy about Comic-Con is it's like Halloween multiple times.
It is a lot of fun, yeah.
Because you get to dress up, you get to go out, you get to, you know, just have fun being someone you aren't.
Yeah.
And the bonus of Halloween is that you're outdoors, so you don't necessarily smell all the body odor. Yeah.
That's a good point.
But before we get into that, let's go over a couple of things like the show notes and our Bumble Raffle winner. So starting off, what's new with you, Kyle?
Well, the only thing I've really done is finished up finally getting through the first season of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's about all I've done, really. And, you know, I can definitely see how so many people have a negative opinion of it, but I've had some fun with it. We kind of skipped some of the filler episodes. I was looking at a guide because they were like, yeah, just watch some of these specific episodes from season one and just ignore everything else. And I think that probably helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from now on, I'm just going to watch the whole thing until I catch up to season four. But I had a good time with it. Agent May is freaking awesome. And it's kind of funny because she's Chun-Li from the old 90s Street Fighter movie.
Ah!
I just found that out. It was just like, wow, that's weird.
We didn't make it through season one. We got like halfway through season one, and then it just became too much of a hassle to keep up with it. Mm-hmm. And about the time we stopped watching is when I heard it started getting really good. So
yeah,
we'll go back to it eventually. Me, I've been working and or trying to work like crazy. There were two projects that I'm working on that started to finally move ahead. And then one's pre-production schedule got bumped to the end of the year. So they're not expecting us to turn anything in until earliest January 2017. And the other project, we were moving full steam ahead. And, you know, one email, we want you to submit this so that we can improve the format. And then the second email was, actually, hold off on anything. We'll get back to you when we can start again. It's like, So I'm actually kind of getting to a point where I'm ahead on a lot of stuff. So I'm going to try to take care of some other smaller things that I've had on the back burner for a while and get those caught up. But I'm also gearing up for the Sega Fan Jam on November 12th. It's going to be a lot of cool people there. Leah Baker, Tracy Yardley, I believe Mike Pollock. Somebody else who I'm not sure has been officially announced yet, so I'll save that for them. But it's a one-day thing down in, I believe it's Savannah, Georgia. Head over to BumbleKing.com and check out the Bumble calendar. That's got all the dates and details on there. And that's about it.
Oh, cool. I didn't know there was a Sonic event coming up. Sweet.
It's more of a Sega event, but Sonic event. Yeah, Sonic event.
Well, I mean, yeah, at this point, a Sega event is pretty much going to be a Sonic event.
Which is too bad, because just the other day, this makes me wish I could model and actually program video games, because I figured out how to do a Altered Beast revival.
Really?
As a kind of God of War clone.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just see it all working in my head, and it's like, ah, this would be great! Too bad I can't do any of it!
That would be awesome, actually. Altered Beast. That's a game.
Yeah, it is. And appropriate for the season.
That's what, yeah. But it's a heck of a game.
Let's get to our Bumble Raffle winner.
All right.
Now, the Bumble Raffle is a contest we have every show where you have the chance of winning a side comic from me. All you have to do if you are a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast is be a patron. That's it. You're automatically entered into every drawing. If you are not a patron, you just need to write in for every episode. We put your name on the list, you get the same chances as the rest of the patrons, and there you go. It's just a little more legwork on your part since you have to write in every 2 weeks.
Yes.
So, this week's winner is...
Andrew F.
Congratulations, Andrew. We will be in contact with you to find out where we're going to send your prize book.
Oh, yeah. You better read it, too. Don't just stare at it. Just open it up and read it. Unless you already have it, in which case, I guess you don't have to, but whatever.
Don't bully the man over his prize. Come on.
Okay, okay.
So, moving on. Because we've kind of already touched on this three times before we even got to it officially.
Yeah, oh well.
What is your Halloween tradition? What is Halloween to you?
Well, I don't really have much of one these days, unfortunately, I suppose. I'm just kind of a hermit and just stay home. Turn all the lights off. I'm no fun. I'm really no fun.
I you am. That big I am box of fun sized candy. It's like, oh, for trick or treaters, and you're like, yeah,
yeah,
for
exactly.
Them.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, I guess the one tradition I have is spending all month, all October, watching James Rolfe, the angry video game nerd, watching his Monster Madness YouTube series. And he talks about a lot of movies that I will probably never watch, but he reviews. It's basically he goes through a bunch of movies pretty much every October for the last decade. He's done daily reviews of various horror and monster movies.
Good grief.
And, yeah, 31 reviews for the last 10 years, pretty much, except there were some years where he's done every other day and stuff like that, depending on how busy he is, but...
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but he talks about a lot of really obscure horror movies and, of course, a lot of more famous ones. And, you know, I've learned a lot about some of the older movies that way. He did do an entire Monster Madness dedicated to Godzilla, which is actually right at my wheelhouse because I do love Godzilla. But, I mean, other than that, I'm not super into the horror side of horror movies and stuff like that. So, but that is one thing that I do, I suppose. What about you, Ian?
Quick derail. Have you seen Shin Godzilla?
I have not yet. I really need to. Have you?
Because it's only had a limited North American release, and as far as I know, it isn't here. So I have not seen it, but I've heard nothing but good things about it.
That's what I've heard too, that it's really good. So I'm very much interested in checking it out. I got to figure out how I can do that.
Okay, as for me, growing up, we always went trick-or-treating, and Mom handmade my costume every year. And boy, howdy, did I always challenge her to come up with stuff. Like, I wanted to be Michelangelo the Ninja Turtle one year. The shell alone was a separate piece that I could actually kind of tuck up into.
Nice.
I asked her to make me Gambit, original 90s version. For Halloween one year. Now think back to what that version of Gambit looks like. Not only does he have that bright magenta shirt and those weird, almost faux Mega Man boots.
And he's got like a head sock thing.
The head sock thing is where my mother just kind of was looking at, because I had an action figure. That was my reference for her to figure out how to make this costume. She's looking at it going, uh-huh. Her solution to this day I think is pretty brilliant. She went out and got a scuba diving mask. Mm-hmm. Not the mask, the headpiece that you get for a wetsuit. And cut out the top and cut out the earpieces, and that made the head sock.
Nice.
It's dead on.
Cool.
After that, you know, I can't do the spooky if I'm the receiving end, but I love dishing out the spooky. So freshman year of college, I had this perfect Grim Reaper outfit. You know, one of those faceless masks that you can see out of, but no one can see into.
Mm-hmm.
The full drapey, hooded gown thing, matching black gloves and boots. And the building had these magnetic proximity cards to keep everyone out that wasn't living in the building. So I snuck that thing up my glove. So I just slowly made laps around the building until I caught somebody's attention. They all kind of backed up, wondering what's going on with the spooky dude in all black. Walked up to the door, waved my hand in front of the lock. Click! Opens up. Walk right in. Eventually got tired, so I just sat at the RA's desk in the center of the hall to chill out. The RA comes out of her room talking on the phone with someone, sees me, and in the middle of her sentence... The shriek, Kyle, echoed down the halls. Slam door.
Nice.
So I just waited there. 5 minutes later, you can hear the door slowly rattle unlock. She peeks out, sees me. I just kind of wave nicely. Go away! Slam! And I've used this a few times. There was one Halloween at my parents' place. You know, sat there on a rocking chair with a bowl of candy in my lap. And as they come up to take the piece, I would, you know, say something or move slightly. Nothing really overt, just, you know, Happy Halloween.
Uh-huh.
We didn't give out a lot of candy that year. For some reason, nobody came up to the door. I don't get it.
And yeah, that is weird.
So after the moving and such, the building that we're in, you can't really do trick-or-treating. So my mother-in-law lives in a nice little neighborhood with a lot of kids. So 2 years ago, we decided we're going to go all out. Got the fancy light, you know, making all weird patterns on the side of the house, fake spiderwebs on the bushes, found some creepy video game music tracks, like stuff from Metroid Prime 2. There's a really creepy track from Bat and Kaitos. Have that playing on a loudspeaker. And true to form, I was going to try to do that whole Grim Reaper outfit thing again.
Mm-hmm.
Except 2 years ago, it was roughly 35 degrees and drizzling.
Oh, boy.
So I'm standing there in the entryway, getting soaked, trying not to tremble because that's a dead giveaway that I'm, you know, not a mannequin.
Yeah.
The only family to come out had their two little ones, like toddler-ish, grade one, on their first Halloween. Now, I have no problem doing a little bit of boo to your teenagers and to your middle schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
But for the little kids, I don't want to scare them. You know, that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to make darn sure I'm not moving because I really don't want to scare these little kids. Except if you've ever had to hold yourself really still, like if you're playing hide or seek or whatever, you realize that makes your muscles lock up and need to move even more.
Yeah.
Add in the cold and the rain. It was very hard to stay still. And apparently, because I couldn't really see, it was too dark, the kids were already kind of nervous looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad goes, "Wow, that mannequin's so lifelike, I actually thought it was a guy."
Uh-oh.
And Leah says, "Yeah, it really is lifelike, isn't it?" Because the minute she says, "No, that's an actual dude," the kids are going to freak out.
Oh, yeah.
So this entire exchange happens. Family moves on. And that was the only people we had come within the 3 hours that I decided to stand out there.
Oh.
So last year, we're going to be smart about it. Not drizzling, still cold. I'm going to stand in the garage that, you know, has a door right next to the front door.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of the elements. I'm slightly warmer. And as the kids come up, I will flash the lights in the garage so you have the spooky face in the window and the strobe effect, right? Spooky, right? Terrifying.
Nice.
Nobody looked at me, Kyle.
Aww.
We had a dozen kids that night. Not one person saw me.
What? Come on.
So.
Lame.
This year, we're going to check the weather first.
Yeah. It might be a good idea.
And see how that goes. But I'm committed to it. I'm going to spook some 12-year-old. Darn it.
Some hapless child who will never suspect.
They're getting free candy. They're going to get some adrenaline with it.
That's right. They're going to get tricked along with their treats.
Now, this all comes down to my personal philosophy on Halloween. And I know there's folks who love haunted houses and really spooky stuff and the gore and all that. I don't. And as much as I enjoy going boo to somebody, I also understand how much I would not like it myself.
Yeah.
So I feel that there's a degree of acceptability here.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Halloween night and all I'm doing is a little bit of a pop scare to somebody walking up to the front door who's old enough to know that it's not really a threat, that I find acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go out of my way to frighten or disturb little children. That, I think, takes all the fun out of Halloween.
Some people love doing that.
I know. I can understand the thrill of doing it to someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
More than once, I've considered applying to work at a haunted house for Halloween because I think it could be fun doing it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But I've seen more than one instance of, you know, news reports saying, "Are haunted houses too scary these days?" And invariably, there is some idiot dad going, "Come on, kid, it's going to be fun." And the kid is literally red-faced, weeping, clawing at the ground, trying not to go into this place. And it's like, all right, no.
Okay? Yeah, that is a bit much. I will agree.
I mean, not to begrudge people who like that sort of thing. If you want to get scared to the point where you saw yourself, have a blast. Yeah. Pay your $15, go through your haunted house. I will not stand in your way. But give people an option, you know?
Mm-hmm. Decide if you want to be scared poopless. Don't,
exactly.
Don't force someone else to be.
Because I don't like the loss of control. I don't like being frightened. You do that enough in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
But I can at the same time understand the thrill. It's the same reason why people go on roller coasters. You could not drag me onto one of those, Kyle.
Well, that's if a shame. You could, I love roller
you
coasters.
You could take me, but it would going to be, you know, there's going to have to be a number of zeros in that figure. I do not like the roller coasters. Just, I like things quiet and calm. So I'm a real fuddy-duddy.
I love roller coasters. I used to hate them. I used to be, you know, like you as a kid. I was like, nope, I am not going on any roller coasters. Then I went on, what was it? I think I went to Six Flags Magic Mountain 1 year. I was like 13 years old, and I went on the biggest and baddest roller coaster they had at the time. It's like the first roller coaster I ever went on that I didn't hold my eyes closed throughout, and that was Goliath. And that was Goliath, the 85 mile per hour monster. And yeah. I was pretty much like, well, if that's the worst I'm going to go on, then if that's the baddest I'm going to go on, then I think I'm okay with pretty much anything else. So, so, you know, going on the biggest, baddest roller coaster that I could, at least at that time at that park, I was like, all right, I can deal with that. I can probably deal with everything else. And I really love that coaster. It's a lot of fun, but. Anyway, we're talking about Halloween.
Have you ever had a chance? Well, yeah, but real quick, have you ever been to Space Mountain at Disney World?
Not at Disney World, but I've been on the one at Disneyland, yeah.
Okay, I'm assuming that they're basically the same ride.
Yeah, I think they are pretty much the same. The layout's probably a little different, but the concept is the same.
If you're not a fan of roller coasters like me, but you have the opportunity, I would say do Space Mountain.
Mm.
Because it's not like your traditional roller coaster. It's more of an experience than it is your standard, we go fast, take tight turns.
It's also much slower and very small.
Yes, it doesn't feel slow, though.
No, because of the effects that they use.
Yeah.
But it is pretty slow.
Well, another side of all the Halloween-y stuff is, of course, the horror. So are you big into spooky films, spooky games?
No.
Spooky books?
Not really.
Podcast is brought to you by a couple of weenies.
We are really no fun, are we? I suppose sometimes it's kind of cool. I suppose I'm kind of more interested more in the supernatural rather than the horrific. So like beings with superpowers and stuff that are, you know, kind of monstrous are pretty cool. But, you know, not like body horror or limbs getting pulled off. I don't really care. It doesn't necessarily like make me feel gross or anything to watch that kind of stuff, like, you know, gruesome death or anything. It's just kind of like, I'm just kind of numb to it, I guess. I sound like a really horrible person now. I'm just like, it just doesn't do a whole lot for me, you know. It's weird. I know you're really not into any of that stuff, though.
Well, and for me, I'm kind of like you. The gore factor isn't so much the problem as it's the suspense.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people in the powerless situation as doom inevitably comes to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know.
So what bothers you more, like atmospheric horror or jump scares?
Both. I mean, I can appreciate a good atmospheric horror.
Yeah.
I heard things about They Follow, which from a safe distance sounded very well done in terms of, you know, just being scary.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely loathe pop scares because I do not handle pop scares well at all.
Mm.
I know I'm kind of painting myself a target here, but like pop scare stuff basically causes my entire body to lock up and I'm just in a foul mood for the next month because I keep kind of just seeing it out of the corner of my eyes. I obsess over it. So stuff like Five Nights at Freddy is absolutely off my radar. No thank you. No way, no how. Mm-mm.
I do jump at jump scares, but they don't really have any lasting bother effect on me, necessarily, for the most part.
Not a bit.
Yeah.
I guess mainline horror film I've seen in theaters was Jason versus Freddy, because everyone in my dorm was going to see it. It's like, well, I don't want to be the one guy left, you know, back at base. Mm. Okay, I'll go see. And it was not horror at all.
No.
It was goofy camp start to finish, and I enjoyed it. It was great. And, you know, I could potentially enjoy some of the other ones if they're that level of, but, you know, in terms of stuff like Hostel, or They Follow, which keeps coming up because I hear that one's actually really spooky, and stuff like that. What was the one with the supposed lost Apollo mission where they get eaten by moon rock bugs?
I can't remember. Is that that found footage space movie?
Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called, but I know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah, I got about halfway through it and then just kind of watched, quotation mark, the rest of the movie with my eyes closed, pressed back against the seat. As my wife and her best friend were like, ooh, it's scary. Oh, this is great. I'm like, you can tell me about it later.
I heard that it was actually pretty scary, but I'm not really into found footage movies. They just don't really do much for me. I watched the first Paranormal Activity and was like, this is dumb. It didn't help that the main characters were just unlikable and I wanted them to die anyway. So, I don't know. I'm just not really into all that stuff. It either doesn't bother me or just doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't really scare me all that much. I'm not trying to say that I'm, you know, immune to fear or anything, immune to horror, but it's just like, whatever.
Now, a trend that I kind of wish would pick up more is the more fanciful side. That I guess the only really solid example is A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because that is definitely, I don't want to say horror, but it's macabre.
Yeah, it has those elements, but it's not, you know, horrific.
Right, it plays with the kind of stereotypes, the tropes, mm-hmm. the themes within Halloween, and does it in a way that is definitely not cuddly, but still fun.
Absolutely, yeah.
Delightful, and I don't know, I'd kind of like to see more of that one day.
Yeah, for sure. I also do kind of like the classic monster movies, like if you go back to, you know, universal horror classics like Frankenstein and Dracula and The Mummy and Wolfman and stuff. I do kind of enjoy those. I mean, you know, they're kind of cheesy by today's standards, so they're kind of fun in a way. It's really interesting to kind of analyze the differences between the book and the classic universal Frankenstein, because there are a ton of differences. There's almost nothing of those. Almost nothing is the same between the two, aside from mad scientist creates a monster. That's about the only thing that stays. But other than that, it's just those two things. Or that one thing, I should say.
Thanks to those liberties, we got genius films like Young Frankenstein. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, it's Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. So what were some of your favorite costumes you had when you were a kid? You know, other than the ones you previously mentioned, you probably had a few more.
Let's see. The Ninja Turtle and Gambit were definitely top-tier stuff. I seem to remember we had a pretty decent Dracula one year, except the shoes hurt. But otherwise, it was a classy-looking vampire.
Nice.
I remember one Halloween was not that great, where it was a super complicated ghost costume. You wouldn't think it would be that complicated, but it was like three separate pieces, and the mask was hard to see out of. And it was another one of those dark and rainy nights, so didn't work out. Oh, but there was that one year where I think it was going to be nasty weather again, so we went to the mall. Which apparently just does not jive with Aaliyah. The idea of doing Halloween at a ball just seems, I don't know, sacrilegious.
Cheating?
Anyway, I went as 90s Tim Drake Robin.
Nice.
Because that's right when Tim Drake was, you know, the popular Robin.
Yeah.
And he had an awesome costume.
Mm-hmm.
And my little brother, who was like, three at the time, was Batman. So we had, you know, towering Robin over little Batman. And that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like that, you know, switching the roles that, you know, he might expect. That's pretty awesome.
Exactly. Did you dress up at all when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. I remember. I don't remember all of the costumes I had. There are four main ones that I remember. I remember there was one year I went as the classic sheet ghost, you know, bed sheet over the head with holes cut out for eyes. That was one year. You know, that's kind of a cheap cheating costume. I feel like it's not really a it's not really a costume.
It kind of comes back around and has that rustic charm to it.
I suppose.
Just so long as you come home at some point and say you got a rock.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. The one I really remember, the one that I had a lot of fun with and the one that I really love was the homemade Mario costume when I was like 5 years old.
Nice.
My mom did a really good job of just, you know, finding all the parts and making sure everything went together. She found, you know, some good, this was at the time when Mario was like red overalls with a blue shirt, I think he's switched since then. So, but she went with that. So I had red overalls with a blue shirt and a hat with an M painted onto it. And she found some white gloves and drew the black knuckle marks on them. So that way it actually had the detailed knuckle marks that Mario's hands have. And then used face paint to give me a black mustache. And she attached sideburns onto the side of the hat, so I had the classic Mario sideburns. It was really good. It was a lot of fun. And the other one was one of the other ones I remember was not a homemade one, sadly. It was the old store-bought Sonic costume that was that really horrible, like horrendous looking Sonic costume. That I know there are pictures of online, and you've probably seen it.
Oh, yes.
It's bad. It's not good. It's got the mask that, like, the mask with spikes on it that covers, like, half the head but leaves the eyes exposed. It really barely looks like Sonic. It's creepy.
And I love the fact that the whites of the eyes with just little holes for your eyes somehow make it really extra creepy.
Uh-huh, yeah, it's bad. It's not a good costume. I think I wore that twice, though. The bodysuit part is kind of okay. I think it had blue arms, didn't it? Or am I thinking of something else? Am I thinking of another one? It might have had blue arms, which is, like, really weird. I don't remember exactly. I do know it had the Sonic the Hedgehog logo right over on the side of the chest, which was like, why would you do that? Sonic doesn't have...
I think
have...
it's a licensing thing.
I know.
But I think you have to have the logo clearly visible or otherwise.
Yeah, but Sonic doesn't have his name on his chest, although it would be funny if he did. And the last... Well, go ahead.
No, go.
I was going to say the last costume I remember was I went as a race car driver. I had a...
Really? You?
Yeah, I know. This is a big surprise. But I was... Apparently, I was big enough to wear one of my dad's old racing suits, one of his old fire suits.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And I had a motorcycle helmet, a racing helmet already, because I had been riding a dirt bike at that point. So I just... wore the racing suit and then had the helmet with a bag in it to hold the candy. So people would put candy in the helmet. So I thought that was pretty fun. That was one I wore for the only hayride I think I've ever been on, where we went on a hayride around a neighborhood out in the middle of the desert somewhere. But that was a lot of fun.
For some reason, hayride in the desert just really brings a weird mental image to mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get in the you're on a trailer being pulled around by a tractor loaded up with hay, and then you sit on the hay and drive around.
It's the desert. There isn't a lot of hay in the desert.
Well, there's a lot of hay out here because there's a lot of horses and cows out here. So, you know, we have a lot of farms. This is farmland out here for some reason.
I don't know Arizona at all.
Arizona's like farmland, desert, forest. It's everything. I don't think most people realize that.
No, all I think of is just like red badlands as far as the eye can see. No, you live in a Mad Max movie.
Yeah, that's what you're. Yeah, I know. You think I live in the outback? Is the the Sonoran Desert's nothing like the outback? Sadly, that would actually be kind of cool. I would love that. I would live in a Mad Max movie like immediately, except maybe not. Maybe not, now that I think about it.
Only
I do like
who like pounds the drums on the big truck and fire comes out every time you hit it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I do like water, so I don't know, it might be a problem.
All right, I think we've knocked on every door and gotten every possible treat, including that one random apple from the dentist who lives on the corner. So let's move on to the Q&A.
All right. You can, of course, ask your questions for the Q&A over at patreon.com/bumblecast. Just reply in the comments over there on any of our posts. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at IanFlynnBKC or at KyleJCRB and using the hashtag bumblecast. Or you can email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com.
All the questions that come in go straight into a queue, but if you don't want to wait, you can always get your priority question answered by becoming a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast. So, what do we have in terms of priority Q&A?
This first question comes from our good buddy Fancy Fool. What are your thoughts on Sonic Unleashed, and what do you think of the Werehog as a concept, seeing as the gameplay is unanimously agreed to suck? That's a bit of a...
I wouldn't say unanimously.
Not quite unanimously, anyway. Right. But yes. Out of sheer curiosity, do you think you did the game justice with Shattered World?
Okay, so let's take this apart layer by layer. I wouldn't say unanimously despised, because in terms of just raw gameplay, as a beat-em-up, I think everyone can agree that it was kind of fun. The problems were that the stages were far, far too long.
Uh-huh.
With too few checkpoints in between. The combat system was shallow enough that you didn't need any of the fancy moves. Failing to do the QTEs had way too much of a penalty, and the battle music drowned out what was usually a great soundtrack for the stages.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a lot of marks against it, but the core gameplay of being a beat-em-up and running around and mowing through enemies, the core concept was decent enough.
It has potential.
And I think if it were refined, balanced a bit, and you plugged Knuckles in there...
Yeah, I was just going to
say... Nobody would have a problem with it.
I was just going to say, I'd really like to see like a beat-em-up Knuckles game. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Kind of that style. Yeah, that'd be great.
In terms of the Werehog itself, I was initially not a fan. We actually got some preview material when we were doing a tie-in in the comic. And so I was watching that glorious cinematic for the first time in private. And I'm going, this is awesome. This is going to be the best game. Look at Supersonic tearing through the space armada. Oh my gosh, Eggman tricked him. Eggman caught Supersonic. This is so cool. What's happening?
Yeah.
Why is he turning? No. Why? You were so close! You were so close! Why is he a Werehog? But the design grew on me. The animated short, Night of the Werehog, went a long way to endear me to the entire concept. Because I think the cinematics did a better job of how much fun a feral Beast Sonic could be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a different aspect of his speed and his kinetic way of moving through the world. I don't think the gameplay quite conveyed that.
Yeah.
And the fandom's reaction on the positive side was infectious. I mean, the kids just ate him up.
Mm-hmm.
I know that a lot of veteran fans still turn their nose up to it, but the younger fan base just adores Werehog. Your mileage will vary with that's anything with fandom. In the end, I learned to love it, which is pretty much anything that can be said with Sonic. No, I don't like Marine. Marine's kind of fun. Cream the Rabbit has no use in this franchise. Cream is adorable. I want to use her in every comic. Werehog just does not fit. Werehog's actually really cool. I'm glad I got to play with him. Back and forth, back and forth. I would like to think that Shattered World was a nice nod to it. It was not point-by-point faithful, but it was not intended to be from the get-go.
Yeah.
So, for fans who really adored the game, I can understand why they wouldn't be 100% satisfied. We've covered this already.
Yeah.
But folks who didn't like the game, I would hope, could see the positive elements as presented in the comic and maybe gave the game another shot. I don't know. Overall, aside from the metal collecting, I really liked Unleashed. I loved the new designs for the people by Goody Hoodie. I love the hub worlds. The music is absolutely astounding.
The soundtrack is great. And the daytime stages are a lot of fun.
I mean, even though it's a somewhat older game by this point, it's still absolutely gorgeous.
It looks very good, yes.
The story is this nice balance of your Sonic Adventure styled giant monster, cataclysm, doom and gloom for all of humanity type of thing, but still being fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Chip, who I thought I was going to absolutely loathe start to finish, actually kind of grew on me because they did the right thing and didn't have him overstay his welcome. You know? Mm-hmm. You only really see him occasionally in the cutscenes to be funny. He doesn't really get in the way of the gameplay anywhere. He comes, he goes, he does his thing, he's out. It's a nice temporary plot character.
Yeah. I really need to sit down with Sonic Unleashed a bit more. I kind of got frustrated with the Werehog stuff. The play of it.
Mm-hmm.
The bosses especially were just like, they're brutal, but I should sit down and play it a little bit more, give it more of a chance.
I will give you fair warning. The last regular stage, Eggman Land, has a difficulty spike like you wouldn't believe.
Mm.
They are really generous with the extra lives, and you will need every single one.
Oh, boy.
I would even say maybe watch a playthrough of it first just to prepare yourself, because, oof, that was rough.
Yeah, I might get back to it eventually. One of these days. Yams88 asks, there's a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to Sonic canon, but one that has always been on my mind was at the end of Sonic Heroes. Metal Sonic was left behind with Shadow and Omega, but nothing was said of this in the later games as Metal didn't return until Sonic Rivals. Do you think the comics might ever take another shot at some flashbacks to fill in the gaps? Perhaps there are other more notable events you may prefer to retell instead?
What's an extra funny wrinkle to that is I'm not entirely sure the Rivals games count as canon, so take it as you will. I would love to fill in the gaps. What I would really like to do is have like a whole separate monthly series where we could go through the game canon and put it through the comic filter and fill in all the little gaps, see all the little nuances, see what's different in the comic version versus the game version, and all that happy jazz. For scenes specifically like that, like why Omega didn't just scrap Metal right then and there, I don't know if we ever will go back to it. It's one thing to fill in the story, which I love to do because I'm a huge nerd. It's another thing to use the economy of the space correctly. You know, because going back and filling in a bit of trivia minutia from a game that's, oh gosh, how old now? Like 15 years old or so? Is not really a priority. So if it were part of a storyline and we could work that flashback in, to make it part of the greater story, then sure, that would be a lot easier. But I don't expect us to go in and have a dedicated, hey, here is this moment in the game that was never explained, so we're explaining it now type of thing. Just because that's... We got a lot of other stories to tell.
All right, let's get into some standard Q&A from the Q. This one comes from @AaronToMilty. If Sega ever allowed it, would you write comics with all of Sega's characters, like Knights, Sonic, Alex Kidd, etc.?
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah.
I would be all over a Sonic and Sega All-Stars ongoing comic.
Sonic Universe. Or a Sega Universe, not Sonic Universe.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've already got an idea of how I could do a, you know, Sonic Knights crossover. Easy enough.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, just... I don't know, Sonic finds some Genesis portals and goes to the various Sega worlds and has adventures. Boom, that's your premise, have fun with it. Easy peasy.
Oh yeah.
Would love that.
That would be great, man. You could do an Altered Beast Sonic, Altered Beast and Sonic comic crossover. would probably be pretty hilarious. You could work the Werehog in there.
Yeah, Sonic hits some spikes, falls over. Wise from your grave. Sonic pops up, goes Werehog. This thing writes itself.
Yeah, it's perfect. I'm trying to think of some other like Sega properties you could do. How would you do columns? A Tetris style.
Oh, geez.
Crossover.
Whatever.
Well, they're doing a Tetris movie, so come on. A trilogy of Tetris movies. So.
Yeah, we'll see if that ever lines up.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Tetris movie is not a good idea. It should never have gotten this far at all. And you shouldn't proceed with it. Just laugh and let it sit on the floor.
Yeah. I think a Sonic and Echo crossover would actually be kind of neat. I can see that
see,
working. Echo's actually kind of horrific, its story. It's
oh, yeah.
It's pretty rough.
I mean, I had a hard time playing the Dreamcast version. I was getting apprehensive because the air meter kept running out. It's like, I gotta breathe. And that was just in the tutorial area. So I didn't get very far with Echo.
Did you play the Genesis games?
I did not. But I actually picked up a collection of Genesis stuff because it's like, you know what? I keep talking about this stuff. I need to go back and make up for lost time.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how that would work just because, you know, Sonic's greatest nemesis is water.
True, true.
And Echo kind of exists in water, but I don't know. If push came to shove, I'd find
it. You can make it work. I'm trying to think of another one you could do, something that would be a lot of fun.
I kind of want to breathe new life into Vector Man, just because I feel a little bad for the first.
Yeah, that would be fun.
So you're some kind of blue hedgehog that runs around and smashes robots, huh? Yeah. Leave another mess for me to clean up, kid. We're the two sequels. You don't say. That sounds nice. That sounds nice. What's it like?
Poor Vector Man.
I don't know, I just really like Vector Man in... He's kind of the Mega Man universe style of robot.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, how humanity and robots interact. But he's definitely not Mega Man, who is this bright-eyed, youthful, filled with exuberance and hope for humanity. Vector Man's a trash collector. He is as blue-collar as you can get. And the only reason why he's the hero is because there's nobody left to be the hero. I don't know. I could have a lot of fun with working class Joe going, I gotta beat that guy with the missile for a head. Eh, don't pay me enough for this.
I could see a pretty good Sonic and Golden Axe crossover, especially if you did Sonic in the Sonic and the Black Knight style kind of thing.
Ooh, that's an idea.
With the sword, yeah. I mean, Sonic with a sword is silly, but in the Golden Axe world, it would make sense.
Yeah.
That would be fun. And Sonic in Comic Zone. That would be
fun. Oh, that
fun.
Would get that, so pretty meta fun too. The humor. Holy mackerel.
Yeah. I love me some Comic Zone, man. That's a good game.
It's hard. It's brutal.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's some great music, though. All right. Our next question comes from Fleet Booth Matt. Is Thunderbolt secretly the Red Hulk of Sonic's world? If so, who's the Green Hulk? Are you confused?
Just a little bit, because my knowledge of Red Hulk is kind of a passing fancy. When I found out that it was Thunderbolt Ross, and it's like, well, where does the mustache go? Well, it just vanishes when he transforms. It's like, no. Look, you can't do that. That just doesn't work for me. So, not quite sure where that question is going. Fleet Boot Mac, if you hear this and you want to give that question another shot, we'll plug you back into the next round of Bumblecast to clarify that, because I really have no idea where to go with that.
Who would be the Green Hulk, then? No idea.
I don't know. We don't really have Hulk-like characters, except for maybe Werehog, but...
Trying to think, what powers does Red Hulk have? I mean, I know he obviously, you know, gets super strength, and is he just really, like, more angry than Green Hulk, or I don't know exactly.
As far as I know, he's just Hulk, it's just he has a tactical mind.
Okay.
So, as far as I know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know for sure. I'm pretty unfamiliar and from what with I've seen, a lot of Hulk stuff.
From what I've seen, he's kind of got an almost fourth wall breaking disregard for the established rules of the universe. Mm-hmm. Like, the Watcher shows up, and it's supposed to be that you don't ever really see or acknowledge the Watcher because he's this other dimensional being, and Red Hulk just punched him out. That's nice. Like, well, nobody but the worthy can pick up Thor's hammer. Well, no, he picks it up because he just wants to, and it's like... there's bending the established rules, and then there's just spitting on him.
So it's Deus Ex Machina the character?
I guess. The mustache is what bothers me more than he's got a big, bushy mustache. Where does it go? It doesn't just suck up into his skin. That's ridiculous.
That's silly.
You're turning into some 500 times your body mass, rippling muscles in red. That makes perfect sense. But the mustache? No, Kyle. No. You have to draw a line somewhere.
I'd like to see Hulk with a mustache. That would be awesome. It'd be hilarious. All right, and our last question for this episode comes from Levi4L Kids. With it being prohibited for comic-exclusive echidnas, would it ever be possible to expand on Knuckles' past?
I'm going to say this with an asterisk, probably not. In part because Knuckles' past is supposed to be mysterious.
Right.
And that doesn't... The echidnas don't even factor into that. It's him personally. His past is supposed to remain aloof. And even if I had full access to the species, that wouldn't change the fact that I'm not really supposed to delve into him, you know?
Yeah. I always prefer
the story of the Knuckles tribe, Paitamaka and Tikal.
Yeah. I always kind of preferred Knuckles being the, you know, more unknown, I guess, just kind of mysterious background kind of character. When the older comics were giving him all the character in the world, it was like, okay, kind of taken away what's special about Knuckles, but oh well.
So, but there's plenty of stuff that you can do with Knuckles in the present.
Right.
So
absolutely.
No problems there.
Nope. I really did enjoy the Sonic Universe Knuckles and Amy arc. That was a lot of fun. They work well together. I was kind of
surprised
to see that. That's pretty good. And that's going to do it for the Q&A for this edition of the Bumblecast. Anything else we need to get into before we head out, Ian, other than our closing plugs?
I've got nothing. It's all up to you, sir.
All right. Well, you can find me at KyleJCRB on Twitter. And you can find what I'm doing every week over at kngi.org, where you can find my video game music shows, the archives for them, and the archives for this show, and many others. You can also check me out streaming live every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on 8bitx.com, featuring lots and lots of video game music arrangements and remixes and other awesome stuff. So be sure to tune in for that.
And you can follow me at bumbleking.com for all that's going on with me, my weekly blog feature, in addition to other stuff. Also follow me at IanFlynnBKC on Twitter for my random ramblings and whatnot.
And of course, don't forget that you can support us over on Patreon, patreon.com/bumblecast. We appreciate any and all of the support you can give us. Even if you can't do it monetarily, we appreciate you guys all out there who are just listening and having fun with us.
But that being said, we're going to round out the show with a big shout out to everyone who supported the show up till now. So big shout to Daniel H., Zephyr Flame, Daya Smiles, Yams88, Mike B., Fancy Fool, Connell T., Daniel L., Samuel P., Justin G., Jennifer R., Andrew F., congratulations again on winning the Bumble Raffle, John M., S. Yavarovich 9X, Alex P., and James K. Thank you all once again, guys.
You rock. That's going to do it for this edition of the Bumblecast, episode number 29.
We will see you in 2 weeks for the first episode of November as we draw close to the end of the year. Woo!
Woo! Happy Halloween.
Boogity boogity, I'll scare your dad.
What?
I'm sorry, runner.
Oh, yeah! Okay. I knew I'd heard that somewhere, but it was like, wait, what?
Introducing new black and orange Halloween marshalades. They look different, but... Sorry, must have had a toenail stuck in my throat. They look different, but taste the same. I watched that so many times, I pretty much had it memorized.
Oh, God, Marshy.
Stack them to the heavens. Stack them to the heavens. I can write a song about stacking them to the heavens.
I'm glad I'm recording this. Anyway.
Hi there, and thanks for listening to the Bumblecast. If you liked our show, be sure to hit the subscribe button and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have some great rewards as well as big plans on how to make the show even better. Also, rate and review our show on iTunes. It gets more folks listening and helps us out, so we definitely appreciate it. Original music composed by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more of his music at bc.s3m.us and find the theme song at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com, available as a pay-what-you-want download.